Hey guys, my name's Heather. Welcome back to my podcast. So I am picking up where I left off on the Framing Britney Spears documentary by New York Times. It's on Hulu. So this is part three of my little series on the documentary. So we're kind of picking up where we left off in this episode. We're going to be talking about some of the harder things that they talk about in the whole documentary, talking about, you know, Britney Spears, her, you know, meltdown and struggle or breakdown, not meltdown, sorry, her breakdown in 2007, talking about the custody battle, talking about Sam Lufty firing her manager, and really some of the mental health struggles. So, with this episode, it's a lot of sensitive topics we're talking about. So this might be triggering for some, I just want to mention. And then also because it's such a, you know, serious topic, I just want to remind everyone to, you know, just be compassionate and supportive of Britney and remember that, you know, what she went through was, you know, so devastating. This really goes into when the conservatorship starts and everything. But with that being said, before I get too much into this documentary and, you know, where we left off, I just want to mention I am on social media. I'm also on YouTube if you search Heather Iris. And then if you make a donation on here or my Venmo, please message me so I can give you a shout out in the next episode. And at the very end, if you want to send me a message, I love to hear from you guys. Let me know what you guys thought of, you know, this part of the documentary or just all the stuff that I talk about in this episode. I'd love to get, you know, I love getting voice messages from you guys. And I might share one. If you don't want me to share it, just let me know. But I might share some in upcoming episodes. Anyways, let's go ahead and get started. Oh, and like I tried to mention, but I just want to mention again, if you haven't listened to my episodes on this documentary, I definitely would recommend listening to those videos first because this is a part three of a, you know, quite a few series. So if you want to watch, you know, or listen to part one or part two, listen to those first because it kind of gives you the, you know, background of Britney's career and just some of the things she went through. And so I'm going to pick up kind of in the middle of the story. So definitely check those out first. And if you don't have time to listen to all of them right now, just listen to my review of the documentary. That's a little bit shorter and it goes through everything. But this goes really into everything they mention in the in the documentary. Okay, so we're kind of picking up where we left off, where, you know, it's talking about kind of how Britney Spears had marital problems. She's really been picked apart by the paparazzi, being called an unfit mother. They're hounding her everywhere she goes, and she's just surrounded by, you know, complete utter chaos. She also got a divorce from Kevin Federline. And so she's really under a lot of pressure because, you know, Kevin was given custody of the children and they have a really tumultuous relationship at that time. So unfortunately, this is the part where it really takes a turn for the worse. One night she tried to go and see her children and, you know, Kevin said that she couldn't, or allegedly Kevin said that, you know, she couldn't see the kids. And, you know, the paparazzi are following her through all this. You know, she's trying to see her children, you know, she's not being able to see her children. And it kind of hits a breaking point. She's under so much pressure and, you know, doesn't have support. She's surrounded by people that are exploiting her and just, you know, just everyone is almost against her at this point. And so she hits a breaking point and she actually, again, as she's being followed by the paparazzi, she goes into a hair salon and she tells the, you know, the hair salon is actually closed at this time. They don't talk about it in this documentary, but I've seen other documentaries on this whole subject. Okay, so then Brittany, you know, ends up going into this hair salon and she asked the lady to shave her head bald, and she had really long hair at the time. The lady says that she's not going to do it, but she does end up giving the razor over to Brittany for Brittany to shave her hair by herself. And then there's more details to that part of the, you know, story, but I'm not going to get into that. I can talk about it in a different episode. But then Brittany right after goes to a tattoo salon and she gets this tattoo of kiss lips on her. And, you know, this whole time the paparazzi are just mocking her and tearing her apart and just, you know, just being really cruel to her. Then after the fact, after these pictures, you know, are sold and, you know, in the tabloids and everything, then you see her being mocked publicly by, you know, late night shows and just people in general. You know, almost it seems like the whole world was just, you know, living for her downfall and, you know, how sad that is. In the documentary, they talk about how, you know, I can't remember who it was that was talking, during the documentary at the time, but he talked about how, like, clearly something was going on and, you know, this is a clear sign that somebody, you know, is giving up and saying that they quit and that, you know, that we've destroyed her. And they just see her as a joke and as someone who's crazy, quote unquote, and not a person anymore, and just how sad that is. Then in 2007, the custody battle keeps going. You know, this is the same time that this is all going on. And one night, Brittany went to see her kids. Kevin said no, allegedly. These are all alleged allegations, obviously. I don't know all the, you know, who said yes that they did or did not do these things. So this is allegations. So Brittany went to see her kids. Kevin said no. Then she ended up trying, you know, and this whole time the paparazzi is following her. They see her, you know, get turned away or he's not answering the door. I think this happens a total of two times, where, you know, she tries to go back and see her kids again and she's told no. So she ends up going, and her cousin, Allie, who was also, I think, her personal assistant at the time, is in the car with her, and they end up going to a gas station. And I believe, well, Allie, I'm not sure where Allie was at the time. I believe she might have been getting gas or going into the store. And Brittany's just sitting there, you know, with a hoodie on and a shaved head, and the paparazzi are just like in pretty much leaning on her car, taking pictures of her. And you can tell she is, you know, not in a good place and does not want to be photographed, you know, and I'm sure she's probably asking them to stop. And I'm sure Allie was probably asking them to stop. And then, oh yeah. So sorry. First, they went to the gas station after Kevin Federline, you know, Brittany's husband or ex-husband at the time, the father of their children, says no. They go to the gas station, and then this time he doesn't answer. Then they pull up behind a Jiffy Lube, and then, you know, Brittany ends up getting out of the car, and you can hear, you know, her cousin Allie telling Brittany to get back in the car and telling them to leave her alone. And then I don't believe they have anyone had a video of the actual attack. There's just like, you know, photographs, I believe. I haven't honestly looked at the pictures in, you know, I've seen them in the past, but I haven't recently looked up the pictures. But I believe there's quite a few pictures taken of her hitting this paparazzi's car with an umbrella. And, you know, then they end up, you know, leaving. It's a huge commotion. I'm not sure, you know, what happened after that fact with the paparazzi. That actual paparazzi that Britney hit his car with umbrella, that actual paparazzi that it was his car, he's in the documentary, which I just think is kind of tasteless for him to be in the documentary when he was such a huge part of her, you know, being exploited, honestly, like in her weakest point. And so that's one of the reasons why I don't love this documentary. I think that's very shady of, I don't know if he got paid to be in this documentary or what, but even if he didn't get paid, I just think it's very odd to have him have a platform at all at this point when he, you know, I'm sure he got paid, you know, for the damage and just, I don't know. I just think I'm still like really disappointed in that man and his choices because, you know, I don't know. I don't know. I can't say enough. I don't know. I guess I can't say anything when it comes to it. I just am really like disgusted that he's in the documentary because I just think at this point he should just, you know, not speak on it and move on with his life and let her have some privacy on the topic. And then it continues that she goes to rehab, and in 2007 she loses custody of the children but has visitation rights. At this time, she fires her longtime manager and becomes estranged from her family. You know, her parents she kind of cuts off. I'm not sure what happened with, you know, if she's still in contact with any of her siblings, but she really becomes, and she gets, I believe, estranged from quite a few people in her, you know, career. And so she becomes very alienated and very lonely. Because again, she fired a whole bunch of people that were on her team. She is distancing herself from her family, and I'm sure her friends have kind of turned away from her. Her, you know, ex-husband has probably kept a distance, and I don't think they had a very good, you know, friendship or relationship or whatever. And so, and at this point, she's so huge that she doesn't have, it doesn't seem like she had a good network of friends and, you know, people that weren't just there exploiting her. So she becomes very lonely and she starts becoming friends with the paparazzi. And if you think about it, it's not that bizarre because, you know, the only person that she is gonna see like every day, are people that, you know, paparazzi, because they literally follow her everywhere. So it makes sense. I don't think it's that strange that she became friends with them. Obviously, it wasn't a good situation. And so it's really sad that, you know, a certain paparazzi exploited that friendship that, you know, they created with her, because it's obviously not a healthy relationship because of the like, because they're only there to make money off her. So, you know, anyone that's there is probably not somebody that is really in it for the right reasons, you know, though. And so, you know, even if they did technically become friends with her, any opportunity that they get to take a picture of her, you know, they are making money off of. So it's not a good dynamic setup. But they're there every day. They're following her around everywhere she goes. And so, I mean, I could see how when you're feeling really injured and lonely and sad and broken down to have somebody there day after day, it could be confusing to think that maybe these people care about you. And so then it goes on to Sam Lufty and who he is. He's this character. I need to read more about him. I've learned about him from documentaries and things, but he's characterized as somebody who attaches himself to celebrities when they're vulnerable, and he is, you know, supposed to be the advisor to Britney, supposedly. That's how he, you know, is saying he's involved with Britney. Oh, I'm her advisor. And he wants to be her manager. So that whole situation is strange. They don't talk about the other guy who is also a, kind of shady character. He became her boyfriend. I'm trying to remember his name. I think it was Adrian or something like that. And so the parents see the Sam Lufty character as the reason for her downfall, because pretty much right after, he comes into her life at a really dark time, and she progressively gets worse. And so, the parents don't have a good relationship with him at all, and they're not even in Brittany's life. And it seems like they s felt like he was the reason, some of the reason why she is alienating herself from the rest of the family. They also talk about how, at the time that all of this was going on, it was 2007. So, many years ago, and how mental health wasn't really talked about at the time. And, too much money was to be made off her suffering. And so, people weren't supporting her. People weren't concerned about getting her help or, the red flags or the cries for help. People were just more concerned about just getting their, money from her and their fame from her. And they talk about how sad that is, that, she was clearly a woman going through a horrible time, and how, how devastating all the things she was facing. And yet, she's surrounded by people, but people that could care less about her as a human being, and how sad that is. In 2008, they talk about how the tabloids and on TV, she was just a punch line. Everyone was like, oh, is she on drugs? Or a lot of people just thought she was on drugs at the time, or just crazy, quote unquote, which even if it was either of those things, which it wasn't, how sad it is that that's still the way she was treated. Clearly something, she's going through something, and yet she was still treated so poorly. In 2008, she's also supposed to give her husband, there's a meeting where she's supposed to hand over her kids to her husband, or her ex-husband, Kevin Federline. And it kind of ends up with her being barricaded inside, I think, a bathroom in a room in her house, and how it seemed like, I think that went on for maybe 2 hours, where she gave, like, they grabbed the one kid, but then she's in the bathroom with the baby, and will not let them take him because she didn't want to, give him up again. She lives for her kids. That's very clear from all of her social media. And she's a good mom, and she's been through so much. And so it's really sad because, again, she's at a really not a good place, with everything that's going on. And so she ends up being taken out by an ambulance, and then she's taken to a hospital and 5150'd. I'll do a separate episode where I talk about what that means to be 5150'd, but pretty much what that means is you're committed to a psychiatric hospital, and against your will, because you're seen as mentally unfit. And so there's lots of times that this is necessary. And I don't know, obviously, we can't speak on if it was necessary at the time or not, because the only person that can speak on that is the doctors at the hospital, and, her therapist and psychiatrist. And so, I think it's important to also not speak on that, because none of us have any information, and, we're not doctors, or at least I'm not a doctor. And so that does happen. And so, and for a certain amount of time, I think it was maybe 72 hours, during that time, her dad, who she's, currently estranged against, files for a temporary conservatorship. And it's usually conservatorships are used for, elderly people that might have dementia or things like that. And in the documentary, they talk about how that's kind of unusual for her to get a conservatorship, but maybe there's maybe reasoning behind it, whether mental issues or, drugs or, whatever it is. They don't say, they don't speculate as to why her reasoning behind or her reasoning by her dad getting that. But later, there's a lot of information that came out. We can talk more about that in a different episode as well. But so later on, he gets a conservatorship of person and of the estate. And so the person just means like having, complete control. Oh my goodness, guys. I just realized this episode's gonna be too long if I keep going. So I'm gonna do another part. So part four, I'm gonna pick up where I'm leaving off, talking about the conservatorship. And then talking. So in the next episode, let me kind of go over what we're gonna talk about. I'm gonna talk about the dad. And kind of the relationship between the conservatorship and Brittany's dad. I'm going to talk about Andrew Wallet, which is a character that comes up. I'm going to talk about, the different court hearings and her career after the conservatorship, or, well, she still has a conservatorship. So I'm going to talk a little bit about, some of the things that, have happened in the recent years. And so I'll probably just have one more episode left, but it might be split up into two more episodes. But yeah, definitely check out my part four. And I hope this kind of gave you some more information on what happened, to Britney Spears at that time. If you want to find me on social media or Facebook, or sorry, not Facebook, YouTube, you can search Heather Iris. And then also, if you make a donation on here or on my Venmo, let me know so I can give you a shout out in my next video. Please, if you want to chat on here, send me a message. I can share some of the messages in the next video, or if you don't want me to share it, just let me know and I won't share it. But I'd love to hear, what you guys think of this part of the documentary or this part of her history. I'd love to hear your guys' thoughts. Anyways, stay safe. I hope you guys have a great day and I'll see you in the next episode. Bye, guys.